Welcome to the Nittany Blues Podcast. By Penn State fans, for Penn State fans. Here are your hosts, Andrew and Vince.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Nittany Blues Podcast, where we talk Penn State football, basketball, and all things Nittany Lion athletics. Thanks so much for joining us. Vince, it's good to see you. How are you doing?
Good to see you, as always. Enjoying spring break here in the Valley. It's been a little cloudy, a little gloomy, but temperatures have been warming up. So once that sun peaks out, it's going to be smooth sailing.
I'm sure that's a nice break for you and the rest of the educators of State College. So how have you been spending your time?
Definitely working a lot at my other jobs just to try to stack up some income for the house, because it's going to be on before I know it. So trying to save up as much as I can and enjoying downtime as well, meeting some friends, getting some workouts in. So just living life and taking advantage of the opportunity of not having to work, 50 plus hours a week or whatever I'm doing. So it's been nice to have a little bit of a reduction in that workload.
Nice. Yeah. It says something when you don't know exactly the number of hours that you're working. So, either way, I'm sure this is a nice reprieve for you. So cool. Glad you're enjoying your time away. But glad to be back here on the Nittany Blues Pod. It's going to be a fun one. We've got something that we have never done before. We've obviously had a handful of guests appear on this show, but they've always been Penn State centric, Penn State fans. And we're doing something a little bit differently this week. And you probably already gathered that based on the podcast title, but we're going to be getting into the minds a little bit of another Big Ten fan base and learn a little bit about their perspective on Tom Allen. And so just to kind of preface things, we spoke with one of our new friends, Sammy, from the Hoosier Huddle. That is an Indiana football-based podcast, as well as website full of season previews, roster breakdowns, and things of that nature. They've been doing this for many, many years. They do lots of great content. And we got the opportunity to sit down with Sammy from the Hoosier Huddle to learn a little bit more about the Hoosiers' prospects here in 2024, their new coach, Cignetti, as well as his take on Tom Allen's prospects as the defensive coordinator of Penn State in the 2024 season. So with that, let's take a quick switch over to our conversation with Sammy. All right, and we are joined now by Sammy from the Hoosier Huddle podcast, and we are going to talk a little bit about Indiana football, about Tom Allen, and what his thoughts are on Tom Allen's prospects as the defensive coordinator at Penn State. But first, Sammy, just want to say a sincere thank you for joining us here on the Nittany Blues podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Any time to talk Big Ten football, especially IU football, in March is great. Nice distraction from IU basketball this year.
I think we have pretty similar sentiments about Penn State basketball right now. Definitely not smooth sailing going into the final phase of the season, but Vince is more the expert on that front. But so it's going to be great to chat some football here. Before we get into this, would you mind just giving our listeners kind of a quick breakdown of your show, kind of how you got started with the Hoosier Huddle, like your fandom behind the team and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I'm an IU alum. I'm one of the rare IU alums who put football before basketball. And so I did my, doing some grad work, getting my master's in physical education, a buddy decided, hey, nobody covers IU football the way we want it covered, so we're going to do it ourselves. So we created a website first, Hoosier Huddle. I did it while I was living in Buffalo in the snow, and then we moved back down to Indianapolis, got credentialed with IU, so we're starting to go to games up in the press box, got the podcast going. First started out talking, interviewing guys who do recruiting with 247 and Rivals and all that stuff. And then it became, I found my co-host TJ, and, we've done pregame shows, postgame shows, everything in between. So it's nice to have a community of IU football fans. And we're heading into our 11th season already. So it's been a wild ride. We've gone through Kevin Wilson, Tom Allen, and now Kirk Cignetti.
That is a wild ride.
Yeah, we've been to, we're responsible for four bowl games in that time as well. So, you know, IU never beat Penn State until we created a website.
So. There you go. Yeah.
So.
And actually, fun fact, IU football has a better winning streak against Penn State than in basketball, because basketball has won the past four matchups, surprisingly. And IU obviously had that upset in 2020. So fun little fact for your show.
Yep. Well, we joke on basketball a lot on our podcast. We still love it and watch it, but that's not our bread and butter.
Gotcha. So what would you say you like better, like writing or podcasting?
Oh, man, that's tough. A good podcast is hard to beat, but I like, my favorite things to write are preseason previews. Diving into all that research and, you know, pumping out whatever 2,000 words on Western Illinois when nobody else knows what's going on with Western Illinois, that's some of my favorite stuff too.
Gotcha. So when would you say the season kind of starts for you? Like, when are you getting into like the preseason stuff, or is it just an ongoing thing? Because I mean, obviously we've got spring ball here on top of us, and before we know it, preseason like power rankings are going to be coming out. So when do you really start to lock in?
Oh man, these days the season all year 365. But you know, back in the day it used to be, hey, you had February signing day, and you know, between the end of the season, ball season, that you got ready for that, and then you had about 6 weeks after that to get ready for spring ball. But to look forward to the 2024 season, we usually kick off our next year's coverage with our 100-day countdown, which comes around Memorial Day. We go through all the players on IU's roster from the spring, give a little background on them, and then you know we'll do our preview pieces in there as well. So probably around Memorial Day, we start thinking about the next year.
Awesome. So yeah, it's going to be here before we know it. So, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, you're here through the new tenure of head coach Cignetti. So I'm sure you're going to have plenty to talk about. What are your initial reactions or thoughts on the new head coach?
It's definitely going to be change. It's definitely going to be a change from Tom Allen. Kirk Cignetti is more of a Kevin Wilson attitude guy. He's not going to take any nonsense from anybody. You know, he's very confident, and he should be. He's had a great history from, you know, IU Pennsylvania to Elon, James Madison. He's won everywhere he's been, and he seems to be the guy that IU needs. You know, IU football does not have the best history. In fact, it might have the worst history of any major Power 5 team, but that's something, you know, You got to look past the last 150 years of football and say, hey, you know, it's a new era on NIL, it's a new era on recruiting and things like that. So, you know, he's going to bring the attitude. We're not making any excuses. We're not putting a ceiling on our limits and things like that. And, you know, we'll see how it works out. What's the worst that could happen? You continue to be the worst program in Power 5? There is literally nothing to lose. So, It's definitely going to be a welcome change. We'll talk about Tom Allen. I was a fan of Tom Allen, still am a fan of Tom Allen. I thought he brought some great things to IU, but his time had run out. It had come to an end after the last three seasons.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think that's really kind of what we wanted to get kind of here to at the heart of this conversation is, like, how do IU fans kind of remember Tom Allen? Like, do they look back on that time, like, fondly, you know, given some of the highs, you know, especially in like 2020, riding high with Michael Penix Jr. and having a great record and stuff like that? Or do you focus more on the final couple of seasons where things just weren't really gaining traction and stuff like that? Like, what would you say best summarizes that time?
I mean, those 2019 and 2020 seasons were special. And you could say what you want about the COVID season, but they kept score in the record books. And yeah, the Big Ten screwed Indiana out of a trip to the Big Ten championship game.
Agreed.
But as we
yes,
all know,
we agree here.
As we all know, they changed the rules for Ohio State whenever they feel like, and some other teams in the conference. But I think on Tom Allen's part, right now, it is still an open wound over the last 3 years, and that people just got tired of his LEO shtick. Which, well, as a teacher, I think it's fantastic. Love each other is like one of the pillars I use in education. But he did have some great hires. Look, the offensive coordinator he hired in 2019 is now the head coach at Alabama, taking over for Nick Saban. The defense coordinator he hired as the defensive coordinator at Alabama, and Nick Sheridan, who he brought in as quarterback coach to Indiana and had to fire as offensive coordinator, is now the offensive coordinator at Alabama as well. So there were one or two hires which were amiss. You look at Darren Hiller, the offensive line coach, and that was the big downfall from 21, 22, and 23. You brought in Walt Bell, who just a hire that didn't make sense at offensive coordinator. Fired him mid-year last year. But it was, you know, Tom Allen came to Indiana as a defensive coordinator, turned around the worst defense in the Power Five. They do not make a bowl game in 2016 if Tom Allen's not there. That defense carried that team, and people remember Kevin Wilson on offense, but his offense wasn't great that year. That was Tom Allen came in. He made Tigray Scales, the linebacker, into a stud, started getting all these takeaways on defense. And, you know, the next thing you know, controversy happens with Kevin Wilson. Tom Allen comes in, you know, without an interim period. And this is where things get tricky, too. How he was hired also turned off a lot of the fan base. IU did not do a national search. They just went up. Tom Allen turned around our defense. Looks like a great guy to be a head coach. We're just going to go with him. No interim tag during the Foster Farms Bowl. Just went with him. It looked like they hit a home run. The first two seasons, they went 5-7. We're playing for bowl games, you know, against Purdue in those last two, in those first 2 years and lost. And then it looked like they got over the hump in 2019, went 8-4 in the regular season, should have beat Tennessee in the Gator Bowl in 2019, should have beat Ole Miss in 2020 in the Outback Bowl, go into 2021 ranked. A lot of returners, and you know, you just lay an egg at Iowa. Penix is coming off a knee injury, and then to me, I think the air left the balloon of the Allen era when Michael McFadden got thrown out of the Cincinnati game for a nonsense targeting foul. And you could say what you want. Yeah, Indiana still had a chance to win that game without him, but being in that stadium when that call happened, Indiana's up by two touchdowns. Cincinnati's going to punt, and they could be up three scores at that time, and the air just gets sucked out of the place. And all of a sudden, it's 14-10, and you know the rest is history. Cincinnati goes undefeated. They go to the playoff, get their butts kicked by Alabama. But hopefully, in the next few years, Allen is remembered fondly at Indiana. But right now, it's, you know, hey, they need a change, and you know, that those 2019 and 2020 teams need to be celebrated.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned Tigray Scales in there because, I mean, he just was an absolute stud. What do you think made Tom Allen, just beyond being a former linebacker himself, just so synonymous with the linebacker position? Like, was it just pure experience? Did he try to feature them more in his defensive schemes? Or kind of what was the connection there?
He asked them to do a lot. And, you know, he had his defensive linemen eat up blocks and allow his linebackers to go all over the place. You saw it with Aaron Casey this year at IU. You've seen in the past with Chris Covington, who went on to play a couple years with the Cowboys, and then some other linebacker, Cam Jones, who's currently with the Kansas City Chiefs. He allows his linebackers to go make plays in space. Now, he might ask too much of them at times, but if you have good linebackers, and word has it, your linebacker, defense should be pretty good under Tom Allen.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a good segue because, you know, really, I think what everybody or the fan base at Penn State is really wondering is what is going to be in the, like, kind of in the cards offensively with Tom Allen, because, you know, everybody knows that he loves his linebackers and and that's a perfect fit for, you know, a school that puts the title linebacker you out there and stuff like that. But coming off of Manny Diaz, where Penn State was throwing out several exotic blitz packages and stuff like that, and doing various things with athletic linebackers and pass rushers and stuff like that. Would you say that that is going to be more the same with Tom Allen, or what would you say is maybe like some hallmarks of his scheme that fans should maybe anticipate or expect?
Well, I'd expect them to run his 4-2-5 defense. They were most successful when Kane Womack was there, and they came. Kane Womack's dad invented the 4-2-5 defense while he was at Ole Miss. and Tom Allen was his understudy. IU was the best when Kane was there in 2020 and ran a lot of things. Blitzes, corner blitz. They blitz Taiwan Mullen off that corner a lot. They use a position called the Husky, which is kind of your nickel corner hybrid safety. They'll use that. They have a stand-up linebacker, defensive ends in there as well. I would expect an aggressive attacking defense that we saw early on in IU's tenure.
Gotcha. Vince, I mean, it sounds like that's kind of the perfect blend of them moving Abdul Carter to defensive end, wouldn't you say?
I was just about to ask that question. So do you think that Penn State moving Abdul Carter from linebacker to defensive end, is that just a case of trying to get the best 11 guys on the field?
Probably. I mean, you always want your best 11 on defense. But they have that bull spot, which is their rush defensive end, who, you know, Abdul Carter should fit in pretty well there.
That's fair. Would you say that, you know, from as far as like being a defensive coordinator, do you think this is going to be more a return to the norm for Tom Allen, just given that he kind of established his roots and his status in college football as a defensive coordinator, like a very like smart and consistent bull-nosed defensive coordinator? Like, would you say that that is going to be more his speed rather than being a head coach? Or do you think this is going to be kind of like a bumpy transition period?
Oh, it shouldn't be a bumpy transition period at all. And I think one of the issues with Allen at IU was that he had to juggle NIL, which IU didn't have great funds at the time, and all these things. You know, he was trying to play general manager and CEO as well as be the head coach and at times the defense coordinator calling plays. I think he's at his best when he's focused on the defense and calling defensive plays. So, you know, this should be a perfect landing spot for him to, wouldn't want to say rebuild his career, but at least, you know, reclaim, you know, what he's good at.
Sure, sure. So what would you say is like his demeanor and his tenor as a defensive coordinator? Because, I mean, I'll be completely honest, I don't remember him so much as the DC at Indiana. I remember his time as the head coach, and he always just seemed to be like really locked in, engaged, fiery, trying to like, you know, work his players up to get the most out of them. Would you say that that's still pretty similar to how he operates as a DC?
Yeah. If you've ever chugged like 3 Red Bulls at the same time, you might match the energy that Tom Allen has. Maybe. The guy is... And that's one of the things you respect about him. The energy he brings to his profession is amazing. And then now it turned some people off. It's like, dude, chillax. But he'll bring that enthusiasm, and he brings it every single day. And I don't know if you saw the clip on Big Ten Network when a couple years ago they had an interview in his office, and he's wrestling Mike Hall and takes him down and all. Like that's when Tom Allen was at his best, when he could be himself, be that energetic guy, and he hates losing. And I think the losing at IU took a lot out of him and things like that. So he will be energetic. You'll see him jumping up and down on the sidelines if he's calling plays from the sidelines. I assume that you'll be able to hear him from the press box if he's up in the press box calling plays. He's just a super energetic guy. The players love him. It's too bad that it didn't work out at IU, but he will bring that energy. And if you all want to feel like Tom, just go chug like 3 Red Bulls. And that is how you'll feel like Tom Allen.
Love it.
Yeah. As a, like a fellow phys ed teacher here, that I love high energy guys. And like, as an athlete, I want to play for a high energy guy. So I think that's a really good thing heading into the locker room. And, you know, if you're a player and you have Manny Diaz, who brings you to the number one defense in the country in some statistics and top 5 in a lot of them, you know, when you bring a new guy, there might be seeds of doubt. So the fact that he does have that high energy and, you know, that passion and connection with the players, I think that'll be good for him coming in and really commanding that locker room.
Yeah, he'll do a good job at that. And I think taking a step back and being the defensive coordinator is, you know, perfect fit for him.
Cool. So we can switch gears here and just talk a little bit about the 2024 season. So obviously it's a new look college football, new look Big Ten at the very least. So for the first time in a long time, Penn State and Indiana are not going to be playing each other this season. We've got a whole slew of new opponents in certain cases. But what do you make of the 2024 season for the Hoosiers?
I really liked it before the second 2024 schedule came out. We didn't have Ohio State and Michigan on there. But then we're like, so then Ohio State and Michigan, we're out of the East. We don't have to play them. And then they changed it. Then we have to play them again. But luckily, there's a bye week between them, too. I don't know what to feel about new college football in the 12-team. I think there's, and I've said this for a while, college football is a regional sport. And that's what makes it great. It's Penn State, Pitt. It's IU, Purdue. It's IU, Illinois. Penn State, West Virginia. Those games matter. Now, it might not matter to Joe Schmo in Texas, but it matters to the people in that region. And that's what made the sport great. There's too much focus on, well, it's a failure if you win 10 games and don't go to the playoff. Or, you know, you win your conference but lose in the semifinals. That's not what college football is about. And I hate that they're trying to make it almost like college basketball. Well, we have to expand the tournament. Well, it went to 12 teams and it took, what, 2 weeks? And they were like, well, we got to make it 14 teams and things like that. So it makes me nervous as to where the sport is going. However, I'm excited to see UCLA join the conference, Oregon join the conference, Washington and USC. Those are four pretty good programs. You get to go out and see the Rose Bowl if you're an Iowa fan. You haven't been out there since the 60s. Washington's a great place to watch a game and things like that. Oregon, IU went up there in 2004 and beat them at Austin. And, you know, USC is USC. Everybody loves to beat USC. So it's definitely different, and it's nice to play different teams like Northwestern this year, getting those games back on the schedule as well. So, but you know, having that schedule where you are playing every team twice in 4 years is good, because there had been too long since we had played Illinois and Northwestern and all those schools that are pretty close that can develop rivalries.
For sure, yeah. I mean, I think we have similar sentiments about schools like Wisconsin. Penn State, Wisconsin has had a couple of good games over the years, but there was always a handful of years in between those games because of the East-West situation. So, yeah, I think we're kind of in the same boat where it's going to be nice. You like certain things about the schedule, you dislike certain things. So I got to ask, though, are you going to be making the trip out to L.A. in mid-September?
I hope so. I wish that was more later in the fall so you could escape the Midwest winter a little bit. But who knows? It could be 80 degrees when they play out. They're playing in October. But no, God willing, I'll go out and see the Rose Bowl and all that stuff. But those, it sucks for the fans too, though. Those trips are expensive. And you know, now you're asking the fan base, let's say Penn State makes Big Ten championship game. Then you go to a playoff game. And then you go to the semifinals. And it's like, how much money do you think people have? And, you know, is it going to become like a Super Bowl event where it's all just super mega rich celebrities going to the game to be seen when in reality the best games are on campus with the fans, you know, with the alumni who've been there forever and all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm excited to go see the Rose Bowl. I'm excited to go see Husky Stadium and the Coliseum and Austin when we get there. But it's there's definitely a downside to it too.
Yeah, I do think that's a really good point. I did hear rumors that they're thinking about having the new Big Ten championship out in Las Vegas, which for the majority of the Big Ten conference is a very long trip. So,
well, here's the thing: it's people are not going to go to that. They'll try it for a year, and then they're going to realize, well, let's say you're the number one team in the country at Penn State. Well, are you really going to? You're going to make the 12-team playoff anyway. So, are you really going to shell out the money to go to the Big Ten championship game in Vegas when you're trying to save a buck to maybe go to the playoff game? Or, hey, we have a real shot at the semifinal and then the national championship. Big Ten championship, really, it's not on the radar to go out there. Indianapolis is perfect to host. And look, I live in Indianapolis, so I'm going to plug the city for a little bit. Indianapolis is a perfect host for big sports. They hosted the Super Bowl in 2011, and everybody copies them. Hotels, bars, everything's connected. You don't have to step outside. Literally do not have to step outside from the hotel to the stadium. They have all these tunnels and gerbil tunnels and all that stuff and bridges connecting everything. They do such a great job, and it's basically right smack in the middle of everything.
Yeah, and you got the NFL Combine there too, so that's another exciting thing. Do you get to cover that at all?
It's super cool. I don't cover the underwear Olympics. I mean, we didn't go, but we took tickets and see who was there this week and stuff like that leading up to it. But it hits different when it's, you know, people not in shoulder pads and helmets and all that stuff. So,
yeah, no degree. But yeah, so speaking of guys in pads, what would you say are the most interesting like position battles going here into spring ball for IU?
Oh man, there's so many position battles at IU. You know, quarterback, you bring in Curtis Rourke from Ohio. He should be the guy to start. But people forget that Taven Jackson, former four-star from Tennessee, came in, played some games last year. If Rourke slips up at all, that's going to become a position battle. But mainly on the defensive side, defensive line, it's not hugely exciting to talk defensive line position battles, but that's a spot where, you know, IU won't have a lot of depth going into spring with guys doing off-season surgeries and things like that, and transfers going out. You know, running back, you got Trent Howland, as well as a couple transfers from JMU and Wake Forest back, or North Carolina back there, you know, to battle it out. Wide receiver. IU might have one of the better wide receiver rooms in the Big Ten this year. You bring in Elijah Surratt, who had 1,000 yards at JMU last year. You have Miles Price from Ohio. You have a slot from Texas Tech. I think it's Keyshawn Williams from Wake Forest, who's a speed guy too. Of course, Donovan McCulley's back. I don't know how you guys left him wide open.
Yeah, we learned that the hard way last year.
Yeah.
Beaver Stadium.
He's back. You get EJ Williams, who's a former five-star guy who came on last year after he broke his thumb on the helmet in like week two. He's back. It's you have a lot of guys in that room who could play, and that would be fun to watch. Defensively, you have battles at safety. I mean, the defensive ones aren't as exciting. It's more of a nerve-wracking. But, you know, safety's going to be a big battle. And then, you know, linebacker, you bring in Jalen Walker and Aiden Fisher from James Madison and a couple other transfers to come in. So everything's wide open, especially with the new coaching staff.
Roughly how many transfers came in from JMU to Val Cignetti?
I think there were 8.
Okay.
And there were a whole bunch. JMU was not very happy.
Oh, but, I'm sure.
That's part of the game.
Yeah, this is kind of the deal.
Yep. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nine from JMU. And all of them were pretty big players for them.
It's going to be football season around the corner. Do you guys, are you going to the spring game, and do you call it like the crimson and white game, or what do you guys call it out there?
It's usually the crimson cream game, but we haven't had a spring game since like 2018 or 2019. COVID obviously canceled one of them, and then they just didn't have one. They had a spring football event last year, which they did a little bit of a scrimmage and some, I don't know, it's skills competitions, you know, who could throw it the furthest and who could punt it the farthest and stuff like that, like Fan Fest. But this year, you're going to have a spring game. They're going to do it on a Thursday night, which is kind of cool, especially if the weather works out in April. But yeah, excited to have a spring. You know, IU football has all the momentum right now within the IU athletic department. Basketball's a tire fire. You know, baseball hasn't really started. Yeah, they started well, but it hasn't really started. You got women, but football has a lot of momentum, and the spring game, you can't lose the spring game. you can't lose the spring game. So go out there, have fun, get the fans engaged, and keep the momentum rolling into, you know, fall practice, and then the opener against Florida International.
I love that. Can't lose the spring game. That should be the plastered everywhere.
And the crimson and cream. I did think of a question though. So James Franklin kind of noted, you know, a couple years ago that Penn State was falling behind in this kind of NIL world that's changing. And one of the changes we saw on that in our community is Happy Valley United. So they have like their official beers that they sell that, you know, some of those proceeds go towards NIL. And you mentioned that that was difficult for Tom Allen to manage at IU. Has IU or Cignetti, are they making steps to try to compete with some of the bigger schools in our conference, like Ohio State and Michigan, in terms of NIL? And if so, what steps have they taken?
Yeah, they have. IU has three main collectives. There's Hoosiers Connect, Hoosiers for Good, which puts players, matches, pairs them with charities and stuff like that, which I love. As a teacher, I love that. You know, they go visit schools, Boys and Girls Club. You know, they get to pick the charities and stuff like that. And then there's the Hoosier Aesthetics. If you haven't heard of the Hoosier Aesthetics, go on to peaks.com. They're the two crazy fans who have a podcast, and they're like ridiculous. But they do have their own NIL fund as well. Those all existed under Allen, but it seemed that they were like kind of holding back their efforts. One has a beer. I think it's Hoosier Game Day. Pretty decent. And then, you know, they've done it all day of giving, like in for India. Then Hoosiers Connect. You could buy some stuff on their site that's pretty cool, where proceeds go to the NFL funds. Home Field came out with, a promo where 20% went to NIL. And they're launching, Hoosiers Connect is launching a IU branded vodka. It's soon. So, hey, get your tailgate ready. 20% of that goes to NIL as well. So they're starting to figure out, you know, being asked for money as an alumni, especially as a teacher, you don't have a
ton. Yes, I feel like you're there, man.
It's like, look, I'm not an ATM. If you're going to ask me to give whatever, 20, 25, maybe $100, at least give me something for it. So, you know, buying, you know, a bottle of vodka and having that go towards NIL. I know we've done like the bowl pick 'em groups where we split the pot. Half of it will go to the NIL. We'll do a NIL donation and half of it will go to the winner or something like that. So they're starting to make a better effort on it as well.
Yeah, that's great. Idea. Even up here, we don't have like a official like Penn State vodka or tequila or anything like that. So I think those ideas are all great. And it sounds like IU is heading in the right direction.
You also got to give a quick shout out to Home Field. I absolutely love their stuff. They have some of the best shirts in the college sports game. Like if you love retro stuff, you got to go check out Home Field.
Yeah, their hoodies are great. I have a handful of hoodies. I know my wife's probably mad at me for taking up half the closet with Home Field hoodies, but and it's not just IU stuff, but like got an LSU one, Oregon State. They have some real good stuff over at Home Field.
Absolutely. So just to quickly swing back to the 2024 season, one thing I forgot to ask you. So as far as like the prospects for the season, what would you say is your gut feeling as far as like final record, bowl projections for IU? What would you say your feeling is at right now, considering that we're at March, you know, several months before the season has started, but what's your gut feeling?
If you're IU, you have to feel pretty good. You've got talent coming back. You have a talented coaching staff. You have 8 home games. You have new staffs at UCLA, Washington, Michigan, and like Northwestern can't be as good as last year. They just can't. You know, you get Penn State off the schedule. Michigan State has a new staff. Nebraska is at home. You know, you feel, and you have 3 winnable non-conference games. You got out of that stupid Louisville series. So you feel pretty good that you should be playing you know, for six wins come November, if not earlier. You know, Purdue's the pick to finish last in the Big Ten as well. So as an IU fan, you always are like, hey, what's the worst that could happen? But you feel pretty confident that this team should be able to get six wins. Vegas is right there at 5.5 wins. They're over under total. So, I mean, if you could get six wins in year one, you're cooking with gas at Bloomington.
Awesome. So I only have one more question that is not football related. It's just something off the cuff. Sammy, I know you're a tennis guy. I'm also a tennis guy. So I want to ask you, who is your favorite player, either past or present?
I loved watching Andy Roddick. His prime was like when I was starting to grow up in high school. He had that power serve, a bad boy too, attitude-wise. He was a ton of fun to watch. And growing up in New York, I went to the U.S. Open, you know, a couple times and saw him. Watching Serena, too, was amazing. We saw Cincinnati to Cincinnati. It was pretty awesome.
Nice. Yeah, that early 2000s, that was some special time for American tennis. You and my dad would have some good agreement there. He always loved Andy Roddick, partly because he looked like Stifler from American Pie. That was his thing. My guy was Federer, because I came into tennis right in like the mid-2000s when he was dominating in like 2006, 2007. So he was always my guy. But love tennis.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Roddick, but I also liked Andre Agassi and Pete Sampras. I'd always watch them in Wimbledon, and they were like always crushing it. So that's what those are other top ones for me as well.
Yep. So yeah, there are a lot of good tennis, and even on the women's side, there's some young Americans coming up, you know, Coco Gauff and, you know, Sloane Stephens playing well as well. So American tennis seems to be in good hands.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Something else that's also growing is pickleball. So is that something that you're into? Because I remember when I was in college, we were learning this in our racket sports class in the phys ed program. I'm like, what is this? I'm never going to use it. And now it's just like exploding from when we were in the class 10 years ago.
I joke with the people who were in my class at that time in 2012. We were the pickleball OGs. We were. Everybody's like, okay, pickleball, whatever, we'll play it. This will never catch on. It's a dumb PE game. Well, now it's like the coolest thing ever. So we were the OG pickleball people, and I don't want to hear it that, you know, Grandpa Dave here is playing in the pickleball court. Nah, we started pickleball. So it's I haven't played in a long time, but it's fun.
Yeah, I really like teaching it with the kids, because tennis can be kind of challenging because the ball is moving faster and it's a larger area to cover. And the ball is just a lot easier to track. And I think it really helps the kids learn kind of those, you know, different swing motions of the racket. So I'm a big fan. It's one of my favorite units I teach.
It is. It's a ton of fun. And so I teach in the inner city. So they don't get a lot of racket sports and stuff like that. So to see them pick up pickleball and play it and have fun with it is pretty cool.
Awesome. So, Sammy, we want to be respectful of your time here. Greatly appreciate you taking a little chunk of your schedule out to talk with us. So we really, really appreciate it. Love getting your perspective on Tom Allen and IU football. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about where they can find more of your content? Where can they find more episodes of the Hoosier Huddle and your website and your social, stuff like that?
Yeah, our website is HoosierHuddle.com. We've already started our spring practice write-ups, starting with position battles. We put out our power rankings as well today. Our podcast is the Hoosier Huddle podcast. You can find them on Apple, Spotify, Amazon. I don't know, I'm pretty old. So wherever else you find podcasts these days as well. So it's on there. The podcasts are also loaded onto our site, our YouTube channel as well. Most of our podcasts are on there. So, you know, it's getting to the point where podcasts are going to start coming back up and previewing spring ball for IU.
Love it. So, Sammy, thank you so much for joining us here. Greatly appreciate your time and look forward to speaking with you again in the future to talk some Penn State IU football.
Yeah. Anytime, guys. Thanks, Vince. Thanks, Andrew. And good luck with the rest of the school year, Vince.
Thanks to you too. Thanks for joining us, Sammy.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. And we are back. Vince, how did you enjoy our conversation with Sammy and the Hoosier Huddle?
It was great. He's a great guy. If you guys know Indiana fans, make sure you inform them about his show. He does a great job covering IU football. So had a great conversation with him. Really cool to hear about Tom Allen's backstory and how he was the defensive coordinator. And then he took over after the head coach got fired and they didn't do a national search, and talking about the successes they had there, especially in the 2019 and 2020 seasons. Really exciting things. Some Michael Penix Jr. talking about some of the good receivers they have had out of that program. So really cool to, you know, chat with a colleague in our field and learn more about Tom Allen as a person. So really cool to get his perspective. What were your thoughts on the conversation?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think what really struck me about the conversation was just the encyclopedic knowledge that he had of Indiana's football history. You know, he was able
to. His ed teachers were smart, man.
There you go. Yeah, got memories like a hawk. But, you know, just rattling off all of these past events and stuff like that with perfect clarity, talking about the coaching staff and their journeys to like where they are now, you know, talking about like Kalen DeBoer, how he was originally the offensive coordinator at IU and stuff like that. I mean, that's kind of an outlier just given, you know, what he's accomplished at Washington and now being at Alabama. But, you know, just so many names that he was rattling off and just talking about with just perfect memory, I thought was super impressive. Like the thing that really probably struck me the most though was the fact that they've been doing this for over 10 years, you know, so much dedication, so much time and effort and energy being put into creating content for their beloved Hoosiers. You know, it's something that I feel like, you know, we're striving for here with the Nittany Lions. So that was awesome. So yeah, if you guys enjoy conversations like that, we are affectionately calling this, until we come up with a better name, Behind Enemy Lines. What was it that you called it, Vince? Was it that?
Yeah, Behind Enemy Lines, I think, is a good segment for our guest.
Suitable name. Yeah. So we, not to kind of divulge too much right now, but there's a chance that we might have the opportunity to have more conversations like this in the future. So if you like this sort of thing, definitely please let us know either in the comments or on social media or via review, however you want to get in touch with that. But we'd love to hear your feedback. So with that, I think then we can switch gears into more of our quote unquote normal programming, talk about some of the latest updates in Nittany Lion athletics. And so I know you got some stuff on track and field. I mean, we've got some basketball stuff, some wrestling stuff, some possibly some baseball stuff. So what do you want to start with here?
Yeah, let's start with track. My favorite thing. So Nationals this weekend, that's going to be up in Boston University. They have one of the fastest indoor tracks in, you know, the NCAA. Fast? I'm not really sure specifically, like when I ran there in college, like I didn't have a great time. Like everyone's like, oh, you can have a bad race and like still PR by like 10 seconds in the 5K. And I was like a couple seconds off my PR and I was like, how did I run slower? And yeah, so that was it's a 200 meter track. It's banked kind of like Penn State's. But I feel like the surface is almost kind of like bouncier almost. I'm not sure what there is like special about it, but it is a really fast track. You have a lot of really fast like mile times there, especially like the distance runners. They always go there to try to get some, you know, fast times, especially those NCAA qualifier times. So yeah, it's a good location to have natties. And it's kind of cool seeing that I've run at both the Big Ten and the NCAA Indoor Nationals venues. So it's kind of cool to talk about that and know nice that like
feather in your cap,
nice little feather in my cap that the Penn State guys and girls are running in the same location that I had. So that's definitely a pretty cool, but speaking of qualifiers, we got our guy Chikna Traore. He is running the 60 meter dash and the 200 meter dash. He's the sixth seed in both events. We also got two runners in the 800. Coach Gondak does an elite job with those middle distance runners. You got Handel Robin in the 800, as well as Carter Fitzgerald. Robin ranking number six with a 146.81, and Carter Fitzgerald ranking number 14 147.25. In terms of perspective for scoring points and getting All-American, you want to be top eight when you finish that NCAA championship. So that's definitely the big thing that those guys will be shooting for. Also for outdoor, I learned last year they now have second team All-American. So if you get in the top 16, you get second team All-American honor. So those guys have a good chance to make that. On the women's side, we got Haley Kitchen. She ranks in at the 800 at 7th with a 201.77. Very fast time. I didn't run sub 2 until my senior year of college in track and field. So
yeah,
really same. Fast. She's very fast. Kylie Kane is the number 23 seed in the mile at 432.97. Very fast. And then we also got the DMR. We have Kitchen, Goldstein, Olam, and Kane. They have a 10.49.05. They're ranked number 8 in terms of seeding, so they have a good chance to get first team All-American honors as well. So that'll be really exciting for Penn State as they compete in the indoor NCAA indoor championships.
Awesome. Go Lions.
Yeah. From the track, we're going to move on to the ice. I think this is the first time in school history that we have swept Ohio State. We've beat them 4 times this year in ice hockey. So nice to beat Ohio State in one sport and get some payback for football in any way that we can. So we got some payback there. They'll be having the first round of the Big Ten championships. They'll be playing at Minnesota. Penn State hockey is the 6th seed. Minnesota is the 3 seed. So those games will be aired on television. We got Friday, 7 p.m., Saturday, 4:30. And then if they are able to force a game 3, they'll be playing Sunday at 7 p.m. All those should be on the Big Ten Network. Women's squad, they're returning from a CHA tournament championship. It's their 2nd one in the row. And the number 15 ranked Nittany Lions, they'll be having the NCAA tournament. That'll be coming up next weekend in the St. Patrick's Day weekend. So they'll be playing on the 14th, 15th weekend.
Awesome. What are your predictions?
I'm going to say, I'm going to go big here. I'm going to say Frozen Four, 2 wins.
Frozen Four, like within the Big Ten Conference?
So the women don't play in the Big Ten. They play in the conference called the CHA.
So the conference championships, though.
Yeah, so they already won. They beat Mercyhurst.
Oh, wow. So you're going Final Four in the nation for both squads.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. that's some bold stuff, but I love it. Swing big.
Yeah, they started off slow for the season, but then they started playing really well. So I'm hoping they can ride the high and keep that momentum going.
I don't know if you mentioned this already, but are either teams ranked right now?
The women's team is ranked 15th. The men are not ranked. They haven't been having the best season. Their record's around 500. It might even be a little below that. It's been a tough year, for Guy Gadowski and the squad. But I'm sure they'll bounce back. It's a good program, and they have a lot of support from the fan base. Like Pagola is always packed, even for non-conference opponents. You get a lot of people in there, so I think Penn State hockey will be all right going forward.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Pagula is, one of those like destination venues now. If you're into college hockey, it seems like anybody who goes there seemingly has, a TikTok reel of just cool stuff that they find in there. So yeah, if you're a college hockey junkie, make your way to State College sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Big Ten tournaments coming up, the women's squad is going to have their first game on Thursday at 6:30 p.m. for tip-off versus Wisconsin. They're the 7 seed. Wisconsin is the 10th. If they win, they get rewarded with a matchup against Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes on Friday. So they'll be playing at the same time both days. So that's your reward if you beat Wisconsin. You get to go take on Caitlin Clark and company and see if you can pull off the upset of the century. That would be insane if that happened. But, obviously I have to take care of what's in front of them first. Got to get through Wisconsin.
Especially now that she's taken over Pistol Pete's record. I mean, it's got to be Natty or bust for them now, right?
Yeah, they're definitely the fun team to root for just because Caitlin Clark just transcends the sport on the women's side. But kind of like a fun little tidbit about Pistol Pete, he averaged 44.2 points per game, which is significantly higher. Back then in the like the 60s or whenever he was playing, freshmen were not allowed to play on the varsity squad. So he only had only 3 years of playing time, and he still has the NCAA scoring record. And he did that without a shot clock and without a 3-point line, which is insane. So I think they like did some analytics and they were like, yeah, if you counted in the field goals that would be 3-pointers, they're like, yeah, he would have averaged like 55 a game, which is just insanity. And I remember like my dad showing me like his basketball videos and stuff as a kid and how he would train. And there was like a movie about him that I remember watching as a child. I don't remember what the movie's called, but yeah, Pistol Pete, one of the all-time greats, passed by another great, Caitlin Clark. So definitely cool to see that title moving from an SEC player over to a fellow Big Ten athlete.
Yeah, there we go. Get more of that stuff in the Big Ten.
Yep. And the women's squad, they did have that 6-game losing streak, but they were able to rattle off 2 consecutive wins. They won at Purdue, and then they won 93-88, and then they blew the doors off of Minnesota at home. They won 90-34.
Rushed them.
Man, when you see scores like that, you're just like, wow, like they made them look like a JV team.
Yeah, seriously.
Seeing that score, like, so hopefully they're you know, getting back into that rhythm. I know they did lose Tay Valaday to a season ending injury, and ever since then they've been on a little bit of a decline, and she's a really important part of that squad. You know, they're obviously missing her impact on the court, so that has been really difficult, but hopefully they're finding ways to win, and it's next woman up from the bench, and hopefully they can make a deep run into this Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, only time will tell, but until then, go Lady Lions.
Go Lady Lions. And speaking of Minnesota, the men did not have the level of success that the women did, maybe in the first half, but the 23-point lead that they got in the first half, that quickly went away. In the second half, they got themselves in a dogfight and ended up losing by about 3 points at the end. So it was just really tough to see, Penn State blow a lead like that. And this was a game both teams desperately needed. Both of those teams were sitting at 8-10. And winning that game would have sent them in a much higher probability of not playing on day one of the Big Ten tournament. Right now, Penn State sits at the number 11 seed in the Big Ten tournament. So they have their last game of the season. It's going to be coming Sunday night, so we're going to find out very late what seed they are in the tournament. It'll be a 7:30 tip-off in Happy Valley on senior night on the Big Ten Network, so make sure you're tuning in. That'll allow you to know if they're playing on day one or day two. If they lose, in all likelihood, they will be playing on day one. I don't expect Indiana to drop their last two and give Penn State that tiebreaker, so this is a must win for the Nittany Lions, and especially that up-tempo style they like to play with their press and try to speed the other team up to create turnovers. That burns energy. And in tournament play, you're playing every single day. So the more rest you can get, especially with a team that does not have a super deep bench, they don't go super deep, really important to avoid that day one matchup. So hopefully they can get this win. And hopefully a couple other things break the Nittany Lions way. That way they can move up into the top 10 teams of the Big Ten Conference. Men's lacrosse, they were losing to number 9 Yale, 9-2 at home, just getting annihilated. I checked the score on my phone and I was like, oh, that's unfortunate, and went out for a run. I get back, I check social media, and you have Penn State upsetting Yale 15-14 in overtime. Epic comeback, really big win for the men's lacrosse program. That moves them up to number 10 in the NCAA rankings. So really cool to see them get back into that top 10 after, a Final Four appearance last year. That was really great. And you know, it's a lacrosse school. So really good to see them get back in that win column. And next week, they'll be playing Cornell and Happy Valley at noon. So you're around town, go support the men's squad.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a good time over there, especially when the team is good. The energy is high. It's fun.
Yeah. Women's squad, they will probably lose their top 25 ranking. They dropped to 2-4 this past weekend. They lost last week at Drexel 8-10. And then they also lost to number 8 Loyola at home. They'll be playing at Rutgers this weekend at 1 p.m. So, you know, if you're a Penn State alum and you are in the great state of New Jersey, make sure you check it out.
Very good. What else you got?
Yeah, I think we're going to finish, on the diamond. We've gone from the ice to the track to the diamond, the court to the diamond. So we got men's baseball starting off 7-4 for the season. They have a series with Harvard coming up. Fortunately, they will not be playing in Boston. They'll be in sunny North Carolina, Cary, North Carolina. So if you are a alumni down south, make sure you check out the men's baseball team as they continue into their season. And women's softball, they're continuing on a roll. They did drop from 15-1 to 15-3 with losses to number 2 Texas and number 19 Baylor. Yeah, so 15-3, really good start for the Lady Lions. So really excited to see how their season continues to play out. They will be at Texas State Thursday through Friday, where they have 3 matchups within the 2 days. So if you have ESPN Plus, you can definitely check them out there.
Sweet. Thanks for the insight there. Definitely want to also get into some wrestling news coming from the team. Everybody's kind of been waiting with bated breath to see what the status is of Carter Sciracci going into the Big Ten and the NCAA championships, which the Big Tens are this upcoming weekend. So everybody was waiting for an update on Carter, and Kale Sanderson came through and delivered an update on Carter. He didn't get too deep into the specifics of like how severe the injury is or anything like that. But from what he did share, it did seem like he was trending in the right direction to be able to compete. Not sure what his like level of strength is going to be relative to how healthy he is. I mean, definitely it's not going to be 100%. So he said, and I quote, that his mindset is search and destroy, just like it always is, which I think is awesome because, you know, that's just kind of the guy that Carter is. High energy, really likes to go for his attacks and stuff like that. Carter, around the same time or even like a day or two before, shared, you know, kind of one of those inspirational Instagram videos and captions and stuff like that, talking about like being a champion and stuff like that. And the feeling that I got from it was like, you know, this, it's not a confirmation of whether or not he's going to be able to wrestle in the postseason, but it definitely doesn't sound like a guy who is ready to just say that his season is over. So, you know, hopefully, fingers and toes crossed, the injury just looked a lot worse than it actually is, you know, especially in the immediate goings, considering that he had to, you know, get help walking off the mat and stuff like that. But they've been keeping things kind of close to the chest as far as his injury status for obvious reasons, but it at least seems like things aren't at, you know, the world has not ended yet in that regard.
Well, that is very great news. And I'm sure like many other Penn State fans, just breathing a sigh of relief that he is going to be able to compete. So really, could not be getting better news if you are a Penn State fan. Other good news, along with wrestling, is we had volleyball. They're out on a spring break trip out in sunny California, avoiding the clouds and rain of State College. Unfortunately, the first match did not go as well as they hoped. They lost to number 2 Long Beach State. However, they did bounce back and beat number 16 Cal State Northridge 3-1. And tonight they'll be playing against number 12 USC. And on Friday, they will be playing at number 4 UCLA. So really has a good chance to get some revenge. Earlier in the season, UCLA was ranked number 1, and Penn State did lose in straight sets to them when they played in Austin. So nice little chance to get some revenge on the schedule. And, you know, I think we'll wrap up here with gymnastics, who they won their last home meet of the season, quad meet. They beat Towson, Ball State, and West Virginia. So they're going to continue to climb a few spots in the rankings. I believe they're up to number 23. And the men's squad also had a nice win over Smithfield College. They were number 12 in the country, Smithfield. So number 6, Penn State was able to get that. So really great job by the men's gymnastics program as well.
Awesome. Love to hear it. It's always so nice, like when we do these roundtables and we almost like 80% of the time have good news to share about various programs. It's like, it's just like, man, there's a lot of good things happening around State College. It's nice to hear.
Yeah, there is. And when you looked at all these ranked teams, it feels good to be like a ranked team in just about every single sport almost. And like, if they're not ranked, it's like, okay, wow, they're having a really down year. Like the men are 23 in track and field. Women are very close to that ranking. They finished top 3 within the Big Ten. Like, so even lacrosse, they started off 2-4, but they were top 25, and they can always earn their way back up to that. So yeah, feels good to be a winner, right?
That's right. Now what we need is like a consistently ranked team in basketball, either on the men's or women's side.
That would be great. I might have to pay a little bit more for my season tickets, but
is that a price you're willing to pay?
Price I'm willing to pay if we are good. And it's kind of crazy too, because that one year that Pat Chambers got them to like number 9 in the country, mm-hmm. and they tied their highest ranking. The tickets actually still were not like expensive or anything. Like, I did have the flex tickets where they sold like 7 tickets for $100. So it came out to like $14-15 a ticket. But yeah, so I was kind of surprised I was able to get that deal and, definitely took advantage so I can enjoy some college basketball. You can never really get enough of it.
I'm still salty that Lamar Stevens was not allowed, or he was the chance to break the all-time scoring record for Penn State was taken from him because of the COVID eliminated offseason or postseason.
Yeah, and he was just an all-around really good player, just had the size to get inside, had a really nice like mid-range jumper, stud on defense. Yeah, it's just, man, it like rips my heart out. Like, for our first time since high school, they had made the NCAA tournament, and it's like, of course, this global pandemic would come out of nowhere and just like stop Penn State from being able to go to the dance. And thankfully, Micah Shrewsbury was able to get them there a few years later. But man, that stung having that taken away.
Not only that, I mean, they had a half decent shot of competing for the Big Ten title too.
They did.
I mean, they were one of the best teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they could have competed with anybody. Yep.
So, yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but hey, all's good in the valley. And I do think, I want to hear what you think about this. So speaking of ticket and prices going up, I saw an article the other day that it's not confirmed, but it's rumored that, Florida State and Clemson are going to be looking to leave to the SEC, which is kind of what I predicted. I thought regionally that made sense for them, but in terms of two teams looking to join the Big Ten, heard rumors of Virginia and UNC potentially being Big Ten additions. What are your thoughts on those two squads being potential Big Ten additions?
That's interesting. I wouldn't have really tagged either one of those teams as being likely Big Ten additions. My mind definitely would have gone more to Notre Dame to start, and then maybe like a Virginia Tech, maybe.
Or like a Pitt.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with that. I mean, both of those programs are pretty good, pretty stable. I mean, when you look outside of football, UNC and Virginia are like highly consistent, highly competitive, great teams across like pretty much every single one of their programs. So I think, from an athletic perspective, I think it would be a good fit, and I kind of said this before jokingly, where it's like, what the hell does two more teams do, when we have a super conference like this, like what does it matter? Like we've already kind of like crossed the event horizon of like, of us having like the optimal number of teams. So it's like, sure, why not? Let's just make this party even bigger.
Yeah. And for me, like, I feel like being a Penn State fan, there's not many teams you can really go to like away games for as like a relatively cheap expense, because the Big Ten Conference has so many teams in like the Midwest. So you're having to fly to like Minnesota or Wisconsin. Michigan's like a 9-hour drive. That's still very far. But to have a team like Virginia into the mix, because really our only close like drivable games, I would say, are Rutgers. That's probably like close to three or four hours from State College. Same with Maryland.
Yeah.
I think that's about 3.5 hours from State College. And even Columbus, I want to say, is like 4.5 hours. So to have, you know, Virginia, I think that's another good geographic location and really good basketball program. Obviously, their football program is not going to be, you know, being the reason they're being added to the Big Ten. But they do have a really good basketball program there. Same with UNC, and USC has actually really been climbing up in football and making nice improvements there. So, you know, UNC, I think, would be an interesting addition, but I think it would be weird to see them and Duke separated. Like, you think like Duke would want to come along if like you're looking at Virginia in terms of like basketball school, why not add Duke, who's a basketball school and then has a football program that has been a little bit on the rise as well?
Yeah, look, I keep saying, like, why not, man? Like, just bring them all in. Because, you know, at the rate that things are going, it's going to be like NCAA football north, NCAA football south, and we're just going to have ourselves a college football Super Bowl. Like, you know, so what does it matter? Let's just keep this train rolling.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, too. Like, having just a north and a south, like just two mega conferences, I think that'd be good. And like, I think it would be better for fans to make it to games. I do think kind of all the Big Ten teams on the West Coast, that maybe mixes things up a little bit in terms of like travel, but I would love to have some more away games that are closer and within driving distance of Happy Valley. So, hey, the more regional squads we can get, the better.
That's true. Have you ever been to Chapel Hill?
I have not. Both my mom and my brother went there for, I think, 3 games maybe. And my brother's like had a couple of friends that went down there as well to the same game. And they were just like, oh, the atmosphere was awesome. Like, it was just like an unmatchable atmosphere.
So, I have not been there for any kind of game of any sort, but I've been there because, strangely enough, an internship that I did a week long training at UNC Chapel Hill. It is like right up there as being one of the nicest campuses, awesome downtown atmosphere. So, you know, I'd be happy to like make a trip to Chapel Hill again to like go and check it out, especially like when school is in session and there's a bunch of people there and stuff like that. And it's, as far as I understand, like perpetually warm. So it's perfect for you, Vince.
Yes.
But it was nice, man. I was just like walking around. I'm like, this is posh. This is cool.
Yeah. Now, did you go to take the 8 miles across Tobacco Road to get to Duke and check out their campus?
No. Yeah. We just stayed at UNC Chapel Hill during this training because the company that I was working for was based out of Chapel Hill. And so they had, you know, we were staying out of the dorms for the week. So it was kind of like a sales training boot camp, if you will, that was there. So we didn't really get too many chances to venture outside of everywhere. Cause I mean, none of us really had a car. And this was kind of before Uber really took off. Mm-hmm. So you didn't.
Man, really, we're old, dude. We're like getting old. We're like, oh, back in my day, we didn't have Uber.
I know. Yeah. I mean, this was literally like the year before Uber took off, because then during senior year, everybody like for spring break was just like, oh yeah, like we just Ubered everywhere. Cause it just wasn't as like ubiquitous of a thing as it is in society today. But you know, we don't have to go down
the Uber OGs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in a way. But no, that, so it was cool. No, I'd love to visit their campus at some point too. But what really kind of struck me was that it's very similar to State College in the sense that their downtown area is like pushed right up against their campus. So mm-hmm. You could go from like the school buildings and their like auditoriums and stuff like that, and then go a couple blocks and then you're at, you know, kind of the college bar and stuff like that. That was really neat. So, you know, I feel like a lot of like, you know, the big quote unquote, like normal big college towns are kind of like that. And Chapel Hill definitely fit the bill in my opinion.
Yeah. I think that's like the best venue you can be at. Like, you don't want to be at like a college that's in like the middle of nowhere, like where it's just like the college is there and like, that's it. Like, just not much to do. Like, not to bash like Susquehanna University or anything. It's actually
Vince.
Yeah, it's like a beautiful campus and everything, but like in our hometown of Seelens Grove, there isn't a ton to do. Like there's no one out on like Broad Street. Like I met up with a friend Kevin and others. We were not Broad Street, Market Street, and I was just like looking through like that's kind of like our equivalent of like College or Beaver Ave in Seelens Grove. And I'm like, there's nobody out like doing anything.
And it was everybody's like, at bots.
Well, no, like this was like at 10 PM. And like, I think we even swung by there and there's obviously people there, but like, it was like weird. I didn't know anybody like hardly there. So it was kind of funny.
Well, that's what happens when you get old. All the people that you would know is no longer there.
Yeah, that's the title of the podcast. So it'd be like, no, you're old when.
Yeah.
Or like, we realized we were old.
That certainly seems to be where we're going now.
Yeah, but State College is always popping. There's always something going on. But it's not like so big where it's like a city and you're like, oh yeah, the college campus is like there. Because I feel like when you're in that big of a city, like the campus just doesn't have that like lore to it. And like, there's other things going on, whereas like, you know, the college like kind of brings the energy and everything's kind of tight knit and close together.
Yeah.
I do like that tight knit kind of feeling.
Yeah, no, there's definitely something to it. I think, you know, to each their own, obviously. I mean, we know tons of people who went to school in the heart of Philadelphia and the heart of Pittsburgh, and you know, they obviously enjoyed their experiences as well. But yeah, you know, for us, I guess, as you know, a fan podcast of Penn State, we can't exactly, you know, we're never going to deviate from the path of loving State College.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, it's just it's a great place to like live, just because like you have all the downtown and all the sports complexes and buildings are so close together. You got like the Arboretum, which is really close, so very easy to get out in nature and just kind of surrounding it. It's obviously in a valley, so tons of like parks, and like you get some lake beaches, some mountains. Like, it's just, you get a little bit of everything, and it's just, and everything's so close together that it's just, it's almost like as convenient as a city. Like, where I'm living now, like I almost never need to use my car, which is like awesome. So like, I'll drive for like groceries and that's about it. So
there we go.
Very convenient way to live. So definitely like the place. If I hear Chapel Hill is like similar to like State College, I'm like, cool, get me there. Get me there for some Penn State basketball.
There you go. Football.
I bet you the football tickets are cheaper.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Like, ever since Mac Brown came back, they've been on the up and up.
Yeah. So maybe we'll have to, you know, reach out to our affiliate of the UNC podcast and try to get them on and talk about Happy Valley if they do get added to the Big Ten.
There we go. Chapel Hill. We'll be on that if and when that does come to pass.
Yep. So anything else you want to get to before we head out?
No, man. Good pod. Good discussion. Glad we got to chat with our new friends over at the Hoosier Huddle. That was an awesome conversation. Looking forward to having more like that, but this has been a fun one.
Yeah. A lot of Big Ten conference championships this weekend. So make sure you get out and support your Nittany Lions.
Love it. So just to wrap things up here, some housekeeping things. As always, the best way to help us out is by leaving a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you are listening to this podcast from. I know it seems like a small thing, but it actually makes a big difference for our podcast, helps it grow within those particular platforms and entice Apple and Spotify to share our podcast with people who have not listened to it yet. So it just helps us extend the reach of our show. So we greatly appreciate that. And leave us some feedback, you know, tell us things that you like, things that you don't like. We want to know, we want to continue to improve the show and make it more fun for all of you. Other than that, check out our website at nittanyblues.com. You can listen to all of our previous episodes. You can learn more about the show and learn how you can continue to support us financially if you feel so inclined. But yeah, you can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're on all forms of social media at Nittany Blues or Nittany Blues Podcast. Connect with us. Send us your questions, your comments, your feedback, your thoughts on the upcoming 2024 season. We've got spring ball right around the corner, so we're going to be talking plenty about that pretty soon. So we'd love to know your thoughts on like any position battles, guys you're looking to look for big things here in the possibly in the blue and white game, things like that. So definitely reach out to us with that. But Vince, I got nothing else.
Yeah. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. It starts with I love you. It ends with I love you. And we want to remind you that we are
the Nittany Blues Podcast. We'll see you next time.